This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to our program. It's good to have you with us. For nearly 40 years, the House of Care has been helping cancer patients and their families. On the Geisinger campus in Danville, House Manager Michelle Smith tells us that often awareness of the facility in the immediate area is lacking. Today on the program, Michelle will help to make you aware of this facility, what they do, and ways you might help out with their goals. Michelle's been at the House of Care for more than a decade now. She joins us on the WPGM Community Forum to tell us all about it.
Michelle, let's begin with, in a nutshell, House of Care. What is it?
So the House of Care is an outpatient lodging facility for adult cancer patients. They can stay here while they're going through their chemo and radiation, and it exists to eliminate the expense of a hotel. Also, it exists to eliminate the need to drive back and forth, sometimes daily, especially for radiation treatments.
And is this something where you get a treatment, you could spend the night here before you return home to further away?
Yeah, you can. A lot of patients are here for like 6 to 8 weeks. Sometimes radiation takes that long, and they can stay here through the duration of the treatment. They could just come for one night. It's really depends on what they need. As long as there's a medical need to justify staying here before or after the treatment or while the treatment's going on, they're eligible.
So you vary from one or two nights to months?
Correct.
Give me a little history of the house.
The House of Care was built in 1984, and one physician, his name's Donald Vrabeck, he was an ear, nose, and throat surgeon at Geisinger. He realized that this need existed. Some of his patients were sleeping in their cars between cancer while they were going through their cancer treatment, as particularly, again, radiation. And he just thought that that was really horrible that they would be going through cancer treatment and not have the money to drive back and forth, couldn't afford a hotel, and that they were having to sleep in their vehicles in the parking lot. So he was a motivating force to get the House of Care built. And since then, probably hundreds of thousands of people have stayed here since 1984.
And the number of managers here over the years has been relatively small, correct?
Correct. Yes. Yeah, since 1984, there's only been three. So the first manager was here for 1 year, and then the second manager was here for like almost 30 years. And then I've been in the role since 2009.
So you've been here almost 14 years.
Correct.
Now, the house we see here today, is this what was originally built, or has it been expanded over the years?
Yep. So the house was constructed in three phases, and then there were a couple of renovation projects since then to just update it. In 1984, there were 8 guest rooms, and then about 10 years after that, they realized the need for more rooms so that they expanded and they added on 7 more rooms. And then several years after that, they added on 5 more rooms. So that took it up to 20 rooms. And then the manager role used to be required that the manager live on site. In 2016, that changed. So the space that was allocated for the manager's apartment has now been converted into 2 more rooms. So there's a total of 22 guest rooms. Unfortunately, due to COVID, with that arrangement, most of the rooms, or at least half of the rooms, were using shared bathrooms. Once COVID happened, shared bathrooms during a pandemic obviously would be a problem. So we really are only using half of the facility now. So currently we have 11 of those 22 rooms are usable. The working theory is that we're not going to go back to a shared bathroom situation. So there is already talk of those rooms that we're using shared bathrooms, converting them all so that every room has its own full bathroom.
That's kind of in the considering it stages?
Yeah, it's in the there. We've already done some blueprints. Obviously, the most difficult part with any project is the funding. So, you know, the foundation is working on creating, getting more funds, more donations, just so that the money exists to actually execute that project.
So this is operating as a nonprofit?
Yep. The House of Care is a nonprofit, and it's exclusively funded through donations.
Which brings us to how that's done. This many rooms, this many people you're dealing with, that has to present a challenge. How do you do that? How do you bring the money in?
A lot of people have benefited from this space. So because they've benefited, there is a lot of the people that have stayed here are eager to contribute. Obviously, too, you know, in working in the world of cancer, death is part of that reality, so we do get a lot of memorial money. Again, patients that use the facility or their families that use the facility have donated as part of memorial money. The foundation, Geisinger's Foundation and Development, they also do a good job of reaching out to former patients, current patients, and just asking if they're interested in contributing to the House of Care.
Does that fundraising generally extend more to those people than local? Because, I mean, I wonder how aware people locally are of this.
Yeah, that is one of the, you know, hard parts is people that live locally often don't know that it exists because they don't use the facility. Obviously, they can stay at home when they're going through cancer treatment. It's really the people that we do service. You often live over an hour away. So, yeah, I think that's something that, you know, just reaching out to the local community, creating awareness about the House of Care is something that could help. And I'm thankful that we're able to do this interview because I think it'll just further generate awareness of the facility.
And I assume you run on a lot of volunteer help.
We do run on a lot of volunteer help. Volunteers help work at the registration desk. We also have groups come in from the community that do meals, that help with like decorating for the different seasons. A lot of volunteers contribute snacks. Some volunteer groups do contribute money. So, you know, the house has, like I said, has been exclusively run on donated money. And also donated time and just the generosity of people.
Now, you mentioned the bathroom issues with COVID and the fewer rooms out there. But how else has the House of Care adapted to come through these last couple of years?
Yeah, so with COVID, obviously the biggest thing was we no longer had the shared bathrooms, so we keyed those bathrooms so that they weren't public. Those bathrooms now correspond to a particular guest room. So that's one thing that we did. During the height of the pandemic, we had to like tarp off any shared space in the building, so people pretty much only had access to their guest room. If they used the kitchen, they had to unzip a tarp, walk in, prepare their food, and get out. They couldn't sit in the kitchens. We implement masking, so anyone staying in the facility when they're not in their own private room, they have to wear a mask. We, unfortunately, have had to limit visitors, so if patients are staying here, they really can't have a lot of visitors coming to see them while they're lodging in the facility. You know, and then all of the staff that work here as part of Geisinger's policy have been vaccinated. So pretty much, you know, the standard for healthcare, we've followed that pretty much to a T. Unfortunately, never really for a shared communal living facility, we didn't never really had an issue.
It's a little more dramatic with the tarps and so forth. And for instance, my work where it was lots of hand sanitizer and wear your mask. So it varies because it is health-related.
Yeah, it's health-related. And then also most of the patients that are living here while they're going through treatment are immunocompromised. So we had to kind of do extra measures with them, with their immune system being compromised to make sure that they weren't unnecessary risk. Dealing with the complexity of going through cancer treatment during a global pandemic, it was interesting. I think we got used to it pretty quickly, but you know, it was definitely an unusual time to get through, bringing together cancer treatment along with a global pandemic. So we had to just be extra careful and make sure that a lot of the, you know, rules were followed. Make sure people were masking. And still are masking, limit visitors.
What would be the biggest need? Do you look for material donations and so forth for, you know, your kitchen and whatever?
People that are staying here, You could pretty much think, what would I enjoy to have? What would be helpful for me if I were going through some sort of medical treatment? So we definitely have received a lot of toiletries, like the kind of toiletries that you might pick up at a hotel, individual size toiletries. Many people have donated those, and that's helpful because if people forget to bring shampoo or toothpaste, we have some on site that we can give to them. People love snack food, so anything that's individually wrapped. Obviously, open containers that, you know, is difficult anyway and still trying to be careful with COVID. So not like a big bag of potato chips, but small individually wrapped potato chips, granola bars. We can always use liquid laundry detergent, K-cups, ground coffee, regular or decaf, you know, packets of hot chocolate, things that you, you know, if you were going through a difficult time, think about would be comforting and helpful. We could also use like things for the kitchen, so like pots, pans, dishes. Everything should be dishwasher safe. You know, and if there's like a piece of art or even books, we do have a small library that people can pull a book off of a shelf and read that.
You want to put in a plug for volunteers, and what kind of person are you looking for?
All of our volunteers have to go through Geisinger's Volunteer Services Department, and they have, you know, various requirements that are similar actually to new employees. So those volunteers have to have their, you know, background checks. There's a no tobacco policy. So there's a lot on that end that the Volunteer Services Department coordinates all of that. Above and beyond that, if you meet those requirements and are willing to do your background check, I think, you know, people working on site, especially if they have experience with going through cancer treatment themselves or a close family member, that's really helpful. I think that facilitates an understanding of what people have gone through who are staying here. Someone that's empathetic, but still able to follow, you know, enforce policies. Obviously, in a communal living space, we have to have rules so that it's a nice facility for everyone to use. So I think the ideal employee, the ideal volunteer, has a combination of empathy with an ability to enforce policies.
And if interested, should they call the Geisinger's Volunteer Department?
Yep, so they can reach out to the Volunteer Services Department at Geisinger. You know, the contact information for all of that is on the website. And if they have specific questions, they could always call the House of Care. Our hours are open 7 days a week, 9 a.m. until 5 p.m., and our phone number is 570-271-8600.
And we thank you for joining us on the program today, Michelle, to tell our listeners all about the House of Care. We thank you, the listener, for tuning in. This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.